All right. Well, this morning, as we're continuing on in the last words that Jesus spoke on the cross, we come to this passage and you think, what in the world is this all about? With Jesus addressing his mom as woman and referring to John. Now, we all know that Jesus had brothers and he had family. Where were they? Obviously, they weren't there. One of the interesting things about Jesus and John, do you realize they were cousins? That they were related? And that gives you a little insight, too, into, remember John and James' mother coming to them with a request to Jesus about one sitting on the right and one on the left when he come in his kingdom? And he said, basically, you don't know what you're asking. But just starts to give you a little insight here, because James and John, they were part of the inner circle. And part of the reason probably why Salome, their mom, felt this is that, man, Jesus is their cousin. Hey, this is family. They should be on your right and left. Come on, what's the deal here? And it's like she didn't understand the whole thing of that Jesus didn't come and give special preferential treatment to his family than to anybody, the rich and the famous, or the poor and unknown. We're all the same to Jesus. He came to give his life as a ransom for all mankind. Every woman, every man, every child in all of human history, Jesus came to pay the price for the problem of sin. In fact, as we look at these words and what we're going on, in verse 25, we see some of the ones who dared to identify with Jesus. As we know, pretty much all the apostles fled. Now we see in this passage here that the apostle John, he was kind of hanging around here. And there were some people mentioned, which we're going to look at in just a minute. But the Jewish religious leaders rejected Jesus as their Messiah. And now, under the Roman government's mode of execution, there was crucifixion. And as we have been noting, we see none of this is by chance. It is in the divine foreknowledge of God, who spoke through the writers of the Old Testament. The pieces of the puzzle for mankind's salvation were being put together. And Jesus knew exactly what was coming, what was going to happen. In Deuteronomy, there was a passage that said, because anyone who is hung on a tree is under God's curse. Now, what is amazing is this passage was written 1,000 years before the coming of Christ. And we see Moses writing, in fact, more than 1,000 years before Christ, writing about a mode of execution that wasn't even there. The Romans developed this mode of execution, and they borrowed it from the, and I'm trying to think here of my reference, because it's in next week's sermon, which I already wrote, that this execution of crucifixion was something that was developed long after these passages were written. And yet God knew that at that point in history, the Roman Empire would be in charge, and the execution system that they would use would be crucifixion by hanging people on a tree. And this is what Paul referred to in Galatians when he said, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who was hung on a tree. And he quotes the passage out of Deuteronomy. And he says, he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. And this is the amazing thing. As all these events were taking place, it's pieces of God's plan for our reconciliation, that the scripture says none of the rulers of this age understood it, For if they would have, Paul told the Corinthians, they would have never crucified Christ. If Satan would have known that by doing this, it was a piece to the puzzle that would result in mankind being able to be reconciled to God, because when Adam and Eve sinned, they turned dominion of this world over to Satan. That is what took place. And we see that at the fall of man, Jesus gave a promise. And he says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." Now we look at that passage and we think, oh, that was kind of an obscure passage. We've talked about this a lot at Christmas time, because that is the first glimmer that God was going to do something about this problem of sin that separated mankind from God. And now we see at the cross Jesus saying something that to us on the outside, why would you call your mom woman? You know, you think about that, and now in Jewish culture, it was common for men to refer to ladies as woman, but it was very unusual to refer to your mom as woman. Now we look at the cross and who was by him. It says, "Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene." And Mary's mother's sister is brought out to be the mother of James and John, whose name is Salome, and that's brought out in Mark chapter 15. And then Mary Magdalene is the one from whom demons were actually cast out. So we see all these people. And then the Apostle John is identified here in this passage as well. I love how he refers to himself. And again, being Jesus' cousin, he's thinking, well, I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. John is thinking he's got a little bit higher standing than the other apostles. Isn't that like us? We all like to feel that we got a little bit more special relationship with God than maybe some other people. But you know what? God looks at us all the same. He loves us all the same. And he wants us to know that he came for each and every person in all of history. And the price that he paid on the cross is sufficient. And when he refers to his mom as woman, it's like, whoa. We know when Jesus speaks things that he is saying on the cross, they are loaded with content. This is no disrespectful way to address his mom, but this is a direct quote in fulfillment of that initial prophecy that took place and Genesis 3:15, that God was going to deal with the problem of sin that Satan had introduced into this world. And this seed of woman whom Mary had, and you look at all the things that Mary had told her about this child that would be born. Let's go back kind of to the Christmas story and just look at some of the announcement to her of who this child would be. It says in Luke 1, "The angel of the Lord said to her, 'Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God, and you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be, Mary?' asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant.'" Boy, don't you love Mary's answer to this? It's like all these things are like, whoa, she did not understand. Mary answered, "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. But I love this verse here. Verse 19 says, "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." Now you think of the years that went by. In fact, we know that Jesus, when he was in his ministry, said at one point, his mother and his brothers really didn't believe all the things he was saying. I was like, man, they questioned him, especially his brothers. Now, Mary, we can see all along, she was like, she did not understand really at all. Why was Jesus waiting so long to be revealed? But Mary had also had a warning spoken to her just as Jesus was taken to the temple to be dedicated at 8 days old. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Now, I guarantee you, Mary was considering all these words as she was standing at the foot of that cross, seeing her son, who she knew was someone special. She didn't maybe understand all the things that were taking place. But do you think that some of these words were just resonating in her like the sword was piercing her heart, watching her son beaten and bloodied to the point that he was beyond recognition? And here he was on the cross. And I love how Jesus warned his disciples before he got to this point. He says, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up. And it's like, wow. We see Jesus knowing exactly what was coming. And that's why he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord, if there's any other way, may it be revealed. But nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. There was no other way. It was in the scriptures that this was the way it had to be. And Jesus said all these words from the cross in fulfillment of the scriptures. And now as we can look back into the Old Testament and see with much greater clarity than people of all history prior to that time, the apostles got to see it. They began to understand. It's like, man, it was all there. All these things that Jesus said on the cross, all these things that happened to him, this was in those Old Testament scriptures that David, that Moses had written about. Jesus fulfilled them. And yes, he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that by believing in him, we do have life in his name. We're reconciled to God. We're made right with him. And that's what Jesus is bringing across, even though they didn't even see it at that point. But one thing that those who are gathered around him, and I hope you see it today. I hope you can see. This to me, I get excited when I hope you can see that when I'm preaching. I get excited reading this. You know, Jesus wasn't just murdered without some haphazard event. This was in the divine foreknowledge and exact good, pleasing, and perfect will of God that this took place.